The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along everybody to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. We'll be taking a look at the final day of action from York on Saturday as it's the last day of the Ebor Festival. Seven races on the card and we'll be taking a look at the first four. You will hear them all live on William Hill's Racing Radio with Andy Holding, James Millman and Gareth Topham. In the meantime though, my name is Sam Norris and I'm joined once more by Jamie Lynch of Timeform to take a look at the action. Morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Sam. I still... fresh as a daisy at the end of the week.
Yes, I'm still enjoying it. Still looking forward to Saturday's action, but some shocks yesterday to say the least.
Well, to say the least, Togruder being turned over in the Yorkshire Oaks was something that I think it's fair to say none of us expected. No one in the horse racing world, in fact. What happened? What exactly happened? Why did Togruder get beat at odds of 1-5? Well, there's one of several possible outcomes. Number one is that Tapestry might have just improved an awful lot. The second one is that Togruder just underperformed. And the third one is that Togruder might not quite have been as good as she looked in the King George. When you think about who she beat that day, Mukadram and Telescope, neither of those two really did anything for the King George form when they went up against Australia in the Jibmont. I think the bottom line is that it might have just been one race too many for Togruder in this really hectic season. It's easy to underestimate how much effort it takes to win these Group 1s that Togruder has been, but it was certainly a shock, and it sent shockwaves throughout racing, really, Togruder being overturned by Tapestry.
I think it's kind of confirmed to a lot of people now that maybe it wasn't the most vintage King George, as you mentioned there, Telescope and Mukadram coming out of it. They haven't really performed either, so perhaps wasn't the great King George that we were looking for.
So, yeah, we've had the main three protagonists from the King George have all been out this week and all underperformed compared to what they seemed to achieve at Ascot that day. And when one underperforms, you sort of accept that. But when you get three of them, and then the big three at that, you have to sometimes take action, have a rethink. It's only sensible handicapping. And we at Timeform have taken action. We've reduced the rating of the whole race of the King George by about £3, meaning that Togruder's no longer out on her own amongst the three-year-olds. And you just hope that it was just a blip in an otherwise perfect career so far. It's easy to just concentrate on that latest defeat when everything she's done before that had suggested that she was one of the best fillies around for many years and not just this year. So we're just hoping, fingers crossed, that it was a blip and she will get back on track in time for hopefully maybe even the arc at the end of the season.
Yeah, hopefully we can see the superstar filly back in action soon. Before we move on to Saturday's racing, we'll just have another look at some of the other races yesterday. The Lowther Stakes, this one was no surprise to see the first three home was Cursory Glance, Tiggy Wiggy and Anthem Alexander. It was just always a case of selecting which order they came back in. Tiggy Wiggy winning that with Cursory Glance back in second, and they've both been installed here as pretty high up the market for the 1,000 guineas. Cursory Glance, in fact, 10-1 favourite and 16-1 for Tiggy Wiggy. First up, yesterday's race, the Lowther, good race for you. And leading on from that, do either of them have serious 1,000 guineas chances?
Yeah, Tiggy Wiggy, Cursory Glance, Anthem Alexander. We knew it was going to be between those big three. It was hard to weigh up and work out which order they would come home in. But Tiggy Wiggy proved herself the best of them, or at least the best of them at this trip, over six furlongs of the Lowther. Had it been five furlongs, then I suspect Anthem Alexander would have made much more of a race of it, because it's clear that she's just an out-and-out speedball, and trying to get her to stretch out essentially takes away what she's really good at. So she'll be back at five. Tiggy Wiggy sticking to six, maybe even reverting to five for the Abbey. That would be really exciting later on in the season. But Cursory Glance is the most interesting one of all three, looking ahead to next year in particular, because don't forget that this horse is doing what she's doing despite being bred for a mile and perhaps even further in time. And for her to be achieving the sort of racing she is and the placing she is in the group company suggests that she's going to be a real big player next year. So Cursory Glance, 10-1 favourite, that's totally understandable. And over a mile next year, she is the one to beat already.
Yeah, definitely. Like the look of that price and the 1,000 guineas field starting to take shape. A long way to go, of course, but hopefully we can see those two horses there. The last race that we'll look at from yesterday's action before we move on, we'll take a quick look at the Clipper Logistics Handicap, and your selection, Short Squeeze, managed to navigate his way through the field to win by a head. A supreme ride from Pat Smullen, wasn't it?
Yeah, he wasn't being called a supreme rider furlong out, Sam, I promise you that. No. He was still 8 lengths down on the bridle looking to make his way through. You just don't see handicaps won in the way that he did that. Think about how competitive that race was. And he snaked through the field. It was almost like he was on a motorbike and just picked his way through. He won only by a head, but he had so much more in hand than that. And the whole point about him going into the race was that last year, he looked on his way to group company. It hasn't worked out for him so far this year, but he's clearly back on track here. And again, he's back looking a pattern performer in the making. And to win a handicap in the style that he did strongly suggests that he's going to be plying his trade in a higher grade. Now, almost as emotional and almost as heartwarming as Short Squeeze winning was the return of Top Notch Tonto. And what a race he ran under Top Weight. Going back in a handicap with a really good claimer, Mikey Ennis taking 7 off, Top Notch Tonto, he turned back time, didn't he? Back to his sensational form of last year, and in running Short Squeeze to a head, that was some performance by Top Notch Tonto. So effectively, in Short Squeeze and Top Notch Tonto, we've got two group horses who had lost the way slightly, but turned back the clock with that run, and that's just a really strong piece of form, that. But Short Squeeze, thank God, thank goodness, Pat Smullen managed to get him there just in time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, as you mentioned, it was looking like it was going to be a romantic return to form for Top Notch Tonto, but just chinned down the line, which is good for Jamie and good for hopefully our listeners got involved in that selection as well. We'll move on then to some of Saturday's racing. The first up on Saturday is the 205. The Strensel Stakes, this one, a Group 3 contest, ran just over a mile. And there's some good-looking horses here. Farage is chasing a hat-trick, Custom Cut chasing a four-timer. Talk me through this race.
Yeah, Farage is definitely the one to beat in here. He is as much as, he's £9 clear on time form ratings. You look at the race and you think, well, it's quite a choppy contest because we have got multiple winners in there. Custom Cut, as you said, going for the four-timer. On the back of a hat-trick that was completed in Ireland last week, he's a really straightforward horse. He's the likely front-runner in the race, and that can sometimes be an edge. Graphics, another horse who's really adept in small-field tactical races. He's a straightforward horse. He's got a sharp turn of foot. But in the final analysis, Farage has really taken off this year. He won the John Smith's Cup under a big weight. That was effectively an almost Short Squeeze type performance, and he was definitely a group horse in a handicap. That was following up his Epsom win, and he's taken a long time to really come to himself, Farage. He's been a few years in the making, but he's clearly at the top of his game now. He's clearly a group horse, and this is just a natural next step for him in this Group 3 Strengths Horse Stakes. I'm thinking already, Sam, that Farage is going to be making his way towards Group 1s at the end of the season. And if he's to do that, then he should really win this, and I think that he's going to.
OK, then, fair enough. Farage for Jamie. And who'd you like to follow him home? Would it be one of those two, Custom Cut or Graphic?
Yeah, I wouldn't pick Trade Storm. I've got my doubts about Trade Storm. He's sort of living on his reputation a bit these days, and I'm not sure that he is really as good as he once was. Out of the two we've mentioned, I do prefer Graphic, because Graphic also comes in here fresh. He's had 48 days off. It's clear that this has been more of a target for him than Custom Cut. It might be a case of after the Lord Mayor show up a Custom Cup, because he's made the absolute most of his thriving spell, and this might just be an afterthought with him coming just 9 days after that latest win in Ireland. So Graphic, a straightforward horse, tactically handy with a good turn of foot. He's what you exactly want for a Strensall Stakes, but this is no ordinary Strensall Stakes because of the presence of Farage. And if Farage is as good as he's looked in handicaps, then he might well make short work of this lot, Sam.
Fair enough then. Farage for Jamie in that one. Strong fancy for him. We'll move on then to the 240. This one, the Melrose Handicap, Class 2, over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. And it's number one on the card, who makes the most interest. He completed a hat-trick last time out. This horse, Connecticut, of course, completed that hat-trick at Newmarket. But steps up in class here and has top weight to carry. What are his chances, Jamie?
Yeah, Connecticut. We've saw the theme of today almost has been group horses in handicaps. We saw it yesterday with both Short Squeeze and Top Notch Tonto. We referred to it with Farage when he won the John Smith Cup, and this could be another case in point because Connecticut is improving in leaps and bounds. Every time he comes to the track, he's improved. He's won all three starts since his debut, the latest over a mile and a half, when shaping as a field stay, the mile and three quarters. the Melrose Stakes, and Connecticut is the natural starting point. He's going to be favourite. He's going to be hard to beat. But the nature of this race and the fact we've got developing three-year-olds, many of them trying a new trip for the first time and many of them going the right way generally, means that it is a really competitive race. And there are a few others in there, Sam, who I've got my beady eye on.
Yeah, there's certainly some of the horses that jump out. Two chasing a hat-trick, I see straight away, Rocket Ship and Penhill. Who are you looking at each way selections, or maybe someone to pip Connecticut to it?
Yeah, well, Rocket Ship and Penn Hill are both thriving, and certainly there was some rain overnight at York on heading into Friday, and if the ground does turn, the softer the ground, the more chance for Penn Hill. Quite an interesting one, going back to your York at the May meeting, because Penn Hill, before he took off, he finished second in a big field handicap at York, and he was second to Adventure Seeker. Adventure Seeker's in here. And he'd be an each-way selection for me at a big price. He's a real lively outsider because of the way he won that York race and dealt with Penn Hill. And obviously that form has worked out very well. And then Adventure Seeker had a couple of months off before he returned at Goodwood. He finished only sixth behind Mark Johnson's Double Bluff. But it looked like that was just a means to an end for him. It looked like that there was an extra a bit of fitness and sharpness to be put on him. And this had probably been a target for Adventure Seeker all along, in terms of since he won that York race at the May meeting, the natural next point back at York is the Melrose Stakes. So at a big price, Adventure Seeker, I can't let him go unbacked. But the one I'm most keen on in terms of a win proposition, Captain Morley, a really interesting horse. He's number five on the card. Captain Morley, ridden by Jamie Spencer. How about that news? That's
yeah.
More than Togruder, the news that shocked the racing world yesterday was that Jamie Spencer announcing his retirement. He'd love to have a winner at the Ebor meeting, what's going to be his final season racing. And Captain Morley, he's well placed to give Jamie Spencer one of those farewell Ebor Festival winners, because much like Connecticut, he's improved every time he comes to the track. Only his form, if anything, is slightly better. At Royal Ascot last time, he was third behind Elite Army and Windshear. That was a really strong King George V handicap. Elite Army was mentioned for the St. Ledger at one point, but a setback or two means that we won't be seeing him at Doncaster. But Windshear, who split Elite Army and Captain Morley that day, his form is closely tied in with like the likes of Postponed and really strong group races. So Captain Morley finishing third there was really encouraging and a really piece of strong form. And he's certainly one who shaped as if a mile and three quarters is going to be ideal for him. So he's had only four races in this season, Captain Morley, each with breaks between them, and certainly looking as if the Melrose has been on his agenda for some time. So Connecticut, yes, you have to respect him. Look at his winning run, and he's probably a group horse of the future, much like Postponed. But in terms of betting, I think that Adventure Seeker, from an each-way perspective, at a big price, I like the look of him. And then from a win bet, number five, Captain Morley, Jamie Spencer, David Simcock, a real fast-improving horse who's going to be suited by this trip, Sam.
OK, there we go. The thoughts of Jamie on that race, siding with Captain Morley for the win, who hasn't been out of the frame since his debut back in November 2013. We'll move on then to the next race of the day. This is the one, the 3:15. The Gimcrack Stakes, of course, Class 2, ran over 6 furlongs. Again, plenty of good-looking horses in the field. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think the main point to make about this year's Gimcrack Stakes is that the best horses in the race, those who've achieved most, they don't actually set that higher standard. They're not at the level it normally takes to win a Gimcrack, and that does include Beacon, who is probably the natural starting point when you look at the race because of that winning run that he had earlier in the season, and the fact that he was probably the moral winner, I would suspect, in the Morecambe Stakes. He finished only third that day behind Kotai Glory, but he didn't really have the run of it. He got checked at a vital stage, and he came home well, certainly with his reputation intact, finishing third that day. It's just, this is a different scenario for him. He's going up in trip, and the Morecambe itself, just looking a bit shaky after Fast Act, as we thought, didn't really excel in that sales race yesterday. So Beacon, he's probably got a bit more run than the market is going to suggest with him. And with all of those at the top of the form list, they've each got the horse to be picked in one way or the other. There is an interesting horse here I think has been overlooked and underpriced, and that is Arlan Emirati, number three on the race card. Peter Chappell-Heim, Jamie Spencer again. I'm hoping for a good day for Jamie Spencer and the final Ebor Festival day that he's going to contest. But Arlan Emirati, he's got close form with another one in here, Balia Alga, the horse who won the Norfolk Stakes for Richard Hannon, who pitches up here. When he won the Norfolk, everything went smoothly for him. When Arlan Emirati finished third that day, nothing quite went so well. He was finishing well when he was chopped for room in the final furlong. It cost him momentum, it probably cost him second place, but he wasn't that far behind Balia Alga. And since then, if anything, he's got better. And last time out in the Vintage Stakes, Arlan Emirati went up against the mighty Highland Reel. And he looked a bit of a match for Highland Reel, certainly more than anything else in the field, for a long way. But the seventh furlong, the extra yardage did catch him out. He faded into fourth, but he certainly travelled second best behind the winner. And coming back in trip looks a good move for Arlan Emirati. So it's one of those races where it's a bit of an odd gimcrack. There's no real standout performer. None of the horses who are jumping up in class have really knocked your eye out to think that they're going to make the grade in here. Fendale is one horse, potentially, who could be really good. Two from two for Brian Smart so far. Beat Tarentum Star, who's also in the field here. Kevin Ryan still willing to give him his chance, even though he was put in his place firmly by Fendale. But just having a look at the prices and having a look at the various merits of each horse, Arlan Emirati, number three, I think he's a bit underestimated in here, Sam.
Okay then, Jamie going with Arlan Emirati in that one. We'll move on then to the headline of the day and the headline of the week really. The Ebor itself coming at 3.50 over 1.6 furlong handicap of course, and it's Sir Mark Prescott's Palisator who leads the market. And Palisator seems to be at the top of this market for as long as I can remember it seems, but 7-2 for a horse in a 20 odd runner handicap. It's a bit skinny to some. Is that the right price for you?
It's a conundrum, isn't it? He's obviously the headline act in the whole race, but as you say, it's an Ebor. And Sir Mark Prescott has had short price horses, similarly priced horses, beaten in the Ebor in the past when they've looked to have everything in their favour, including Montevado just a few years ago. And the cigar that is perennially in Sir Mark Prescott's mouth, I suspect, hit the floor when the draw happened yesterday. And Palisator is drawn 22. Widest of all in the Ebor. That presents a big problem that Luke Morris needn't have had. And that's just something else which makes you think, at that sort of price in the Ebor, with a horse who, yes, he's got strong form, but he's still got a bit to prove, I'm happy to take him on, Sam, just from a price perspective, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be very difficult to be backing him at 7-2. Who are you looking to take him on with, Jamie?
Yeah, because from a price perspective, you're absolutely right. If you're willing to back that horse at 7-2, then in your mind, you're going to have to think he's got a better chance than that. And has Palisator got a better chance than 7-2 of winning the Ebor? I'm not sure he has. But one horse who I think has got a better chance of winning the Ebor than the market suggests is the one who, after a long sweat, has snuck in at the very bottom of the weights, Mighty Yard. This is a horse who has had Ebor written all over him, more or less from the start of the season. He started off in a mile three-quarter listed race, but he needed that run, just wasn't himself. But since then, he's got better and shaped like an Ebor winner in the making, including last time out at York when he was second over a mile and a half. He was behind King's Fate. Now, King's Fate is a real three-year-old improver of Sir Michael Stout's. Back in third was Whispering Warrior, who won next time. Back in fifth was Itlark, who won next time. It's a really strong piece of form, that. And Mighty Yar shaped that day, as he shaped on almost every other start since that reappearance, as if a mile and three quarters will unlock all of his potential. And the other thing about the Ebor is that it's such a hard race to get in nowadays because of the high ratings band that you very rarely get unexposed developing horses being able good enough to just get in the race. But the fact that Mighty Yar has snuck in at the bottom, he's certainly in that mould because, what, he's had just six races in his life. He's bred to be a really good horse. He looks a really good horse, and after that nervous wait, there was a few people really sweating in Time Form House, I promise you, Sam, because they were on Mighty Yar anti-post, and they didn't know whether he was going to get in. It was touch and go until the very last stage, but he's got in there. The last two Ebors have been won by Frankie Dettori 2 years ago on Willing Four, Lady Cecil last year with Tiger Cliff, and the two of them combine here, and I think it might be another Ebor win for both of them, courtesy of Mighty Yar.
Okay, then Jamie going with Mighty Yar as the main pick. He's also in receipt of plenty of his weight from his rivals. Gets £9 from Palisator and £8 from Clever Cookie. Of course, we've got the big field, Jamie. Who are you looking at as maybe an each-way poke?
Yeah, there is another horse in there with not a dissimilar profile to Mighty Yar in that he's had probably half the racing of most of the horses in the field. And the horse in question is Wadi Al-Hatawi, number 16. this is an interesting horse. We talked about Frankie Dettori winning the Ebor 2 years ago. That was on a side Bin Sarua Godolphin horse willing for. And Wadi Hatawi brings a similar profile in here. He's had just a handful of runs. For a long time, he was just a tricky customer. He was enigmatic. He didn't really put it all together. But this year, it's been a different story. He won at York, course form, winning course form, always a plus point as far as York goes. So he won at the May meeting here, looking much more straightforward. And then he ran in a really competitive Royal Ascot handicap. He finished 7th of 18 behind Arab Spring. But that doesn't really tell the full story for Wadi Al-Hatawi that day, who met all the trouble going. He was worst positioned. And for him to finish 7th was actually a good achievement. And it did suggest that this horse has turned things around this year. So, again, it's the freshness angle. It's the fact he's had only a handful of races in his career. To win an Ebor, you need something up your sleeve. Palisator might well have something up his sleeve, it's clear, but the market has already told you that. It's where everyone's latched onto him. The two horses who I think have got a fair bit up the sleeve and haven't quite been priced up accordingly are Wadi Al-Hatawi, who I will be backing each way, but the main selection is Mighty R.
Okay, then there's Jamie's thoughts on the big one of the week, the Ebor, set to be a cracking race. That, if you could just remind us, please, Jamie, then before we close the podcast, your selections for Saturday's action.
Yes, the selections for Saturday in the 205 Strength Sol Stakes. It is Farage, the horse with the best form, comfortably the best form. If ratings count for anything, he's going to be much too good for those in the Strength Sol Stakes. And then in the Melrose, I like Adventure Seeker from an each-way perspective, but the main selection is going to be Captain Morley. And then in the 315, the Jim Crack Stakes, I'm going for a bit of an outsider, one who looks to me to have been underestimated in terms of what he's achieved already and the promise and the potential that he might reveal now that he's back at 6 furlongs. Arlan Emirati is my selection there. And then the Ebor, superb race as ever, all eyes on Palisator, but he's a short price in a big field and he's got the worst of the draw. The one I like most of all is Mighty Yar. Hopefully, thankfully, he's snuck in at the bottom and he'll make that count.
There we go then. Thoughts of Time Forms, Jamie Lynch on this William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. And you can hear all of Saturday's action from 1:55 p.m. on Racing Radio with Andy Holding, James Millman and Gareth Topham in the studio. All the racing from York is also Newmarket, Goodwood and Cartmel in the afternoon, Redcar and Windsor in the evening and the Curragh and Killarney from across the Irish Sea. Thank you ever so much for joining me today and all week, Jamie. And I hope you enjoyed the final day of action from the Ebor meeting.
Yeah, thanks for your help, Sam. I've really enjoyed that. Fingers crossed people have made a few quid and they might make a few more quid on Saturday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.